You ever prepare for a sermon and God change your mind on Saturday night late? Probably not, huh, for most of y'all. I had a sermon already, started it last Monday or Tuesday. Had some scripture there in your bulletin, by the way, which we won't get to today, but you can sure enough look at them this afternoon, regarding moms and motherhood. And last night I went to bed after another long day and a difficult day having done Luke's funeral. And I lay down and tried to go, I went to the Lord in prayer at first, like I always do when I go to bed. And God began to impress on my mind a different story for today. You see, a lot of us were raised in good homes with good parents, in today's Mom's Day, with good moms. Amen? And some of us weren't. I had the blessing and privilege of being part of a family of eight. D, where are you? D, how many kids did you have? 10, 9, 11. What a woman. And so I know some of you come from large families, and some come from small families, and some come from varied backgrounds. And I got the permission from one of our church members here a while ago. I thought someday, I said, it's going to be appropriate to tell your story. And so I'm going to tell her story today, and some of you have heard this because I shared it a whole bunch of years ago, 5, 6 years ago. It could be entitled, A Woman Called Linda. You see, several years ago, this lady called Linda came to church right here. But she came against her will. She had had it up to here with churches and hypocrites and pastors that would accuse her of stuff that she wasn't guilty of. She'd had it all the way up to here with church. And yet a good friend of mine who I knew from another church said, I want you to come with me one more time. Would you please come? Just one more time. And even as she walked up the steps out here, there's this voice in her head, don't go in there. And every subsequent trip she made up onto these steps, the same voice, don't even think about going in there. And she would force her way up the steps and into the foyer. And the very first time she came into the foyer, she was brand new to us. My wife, who had come up out of the basement from a Sunday school class, saw her and embraced her and said, glad you're here. And more importantly, an 88-year-old Marie Alley, who's gone on to be with Jesus now, saw this new face and she embraced her in the foyer and said, I love you. Now, you may not think that's significant, but I'm going to tell you a minute how significant that was to this lady called Linda. My friend Jim, he kept dragging her to church against her will. She would get here and she would break out in cold sweats. She would dive off for the bathroom. She had to get out. The voice in her head when she'd hit the church grounds and hit the church steps, don't go in there. And later I would learn from her every time she said, Jim, it was like you're looking and pointing and talking right to me every single time. Well, after she'd been here a few Sundays, my friend Jim told me that she's in the St. Cloud Hospital and she's got some stomach trouble. She's doing real poorly. I didn't even know her, really. And yet Monday morning, early, before Sherry and I were even out of bed, I said, I got to go to St. Cloud. I got to see Linda. Because that's what the Lord had laid on my heart. Got to do it. And so I drove to St. Cloud Hospital that Monday morning. I asked for her at the front desk, and they told me where she was, and I went down to the older part of the hospital and tapped on her door because the door was shut. And she said, come in. And I looked in, and she said, Pastor, you're the last person I thought I'd see here. Well, I said, I just come to see how you're doing. Jim said you were doing poorly, and I said, I just come to see how you're doing. And for the next 2 hours, she poured out her broken heart to me about how she was really doing. You see, like I said, a lot of you and I have had the privilege of growing up in a home with a loving mother who loved us and cared for us, maybe even took us to church, maybe told us bedtime stories or Bible stories, maybe prayed with us, not Linda. She didn't get any of it. The sexual abuse by her stepdad started early in her life. Really early. Before 10. It went on for years. At 15, she couldn't take it anymore. Pregnant from her stepdad, she bailed out of the only home she knew. All the while, she would plead with her mother, come to her defense. All the while, she was longing for a mother just to say the words, I love you. Never once got it. As a matter of fact, her mother took the extra step and said, God don't even love you. For 2 hours, I listened to her broken heart. I wept inside. I thought, God, how can people treat people like this? She was married at 16, pregnant at 15, married at 16, beaten and abused some more. That marriage, as you might suspect, didn't go too good. Didn't last very long. Failed. Remarried again. Was abused again and misused again. Beaten. Her daughter's beaten. And so life was not going very well for Linda. And for 2 hours, she poured out her heart about the difficulties and the tragedies that she'd been through. My heart was breaking and aching. And somewhere around the age of 55, her mother, who had never once said she loved her daughter, somewhere around the age of 55, Linda was 55-ish, and her mother got real sick and ended up in the hospital. I think in a city's hospital. And Linda stayed there night and day with her mom. Night and day. Hoping maybe to hear the words, I love you. Just once. After several days, she was relieved of her post by, I believe it was a brother. It was late at night. She went to get in her car someplace around the hospital and was mugged and raped again. You see, she had been going through life and her mom had been telling her, God don't even love you. I sure don't. And she was crying out to God through this miserable, wretched life, crying out, God, please, if you're real. She was convinced there couldn't possibly be a God. I guess I can't blame her much. She came home. By this time, she's 55 years old and married to a loving husband now that's that loves her and cares for her. But she came home convinced there was only one thing left to do, and that's commit suicide. Life was too heavy. Life was too ugly. Nobody loved her. Never heard anybody that say they loved her anyway. And she took one of her husband's guns out into the woods close by where they lived, and she was going to end it all. I don't know why. I can't remember why she stopped that day. But a turn of events began to happen in her life. This same Jim, who just was a friend because Linda was ministering to Jim's dying wife with cancer, took her to a place in Alexandria to get her some counseling and some help, and started dragging her to church against her will, week after week. And she told me while I listened to her that day, she said, "Jim, I didn't want to go in there." And she told me that Marie Alley said, "I love you." And you see the significance of that, brothers and sisters, because she'd never heard it from her ma. And here was an 88-year-old lady embracing a 55-year-old saying, "I love you." And she meant it. She told me that during that 2 hours. She told me how she would get the cold sweats here and run out and run to the bathroom because everything you were saying was directed right at me, she kept saying. And through tears and heartache, I finally said to her after I just let her pour out her heart for a long, long time, I said, "Linda, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you." I said, "Linda, God loves you so much He sent Jesus to die for you." I said, "Linda, do you know about Jesus?" She said, "The only thing I know about Jesus is the song that Grandma taught me." She said, "I would sing it when I was being abused as a little girl. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I would sing it to take my mind away from what was happening to my body. It's all I know about Jesus." And I said, "Linda, do you really want to know Jesus? Because He loves you. I'm so sorry that your mama never told you she loved you. But Jesus loves you?" And she said, "Yeah, I really do. I really do want to know Jesus." And I said, "You just pray with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that invites Jesus Christ into your life, to be Lord of your life." And we began to pray. I don't remember how the words went. I just, something like, "Thank you for loving me when nobody else did. Thank you for dying for me. I want you to come into my life and take control of my life." Anyway, whatever we prayed, she told me as soon as we got done praying, she said, "Pastor, while I was praying, I thought I was having a heart attack. My heart hurt so bad. The pain was real. It was just striking. It was just extremely intense. And I cried out to God. While I'm trying to pray with you, I cried out to God, 'Don't take me now. I'm trying to invite Jesus into my life.'" And we were both crying and laughing together. And a nurse came in and was going to check her vitals. She put a cuff on her and she put her stethoscope on her heart. And Linda said, "I think you'll find my heart is just fine. I just asked Jesus into it." That's what she told her. Linda is part of our congregation now. She's still got poor health. But she's ministering to others because of a lady that said, "I love you." A mother. Not her biological mother, but a motherly mother that took the time and said, I love you, when she needed it worst. And I said it earlier, and I'll say it again to close in just a moment. Some of you have had wonderful, loving, caring moms and dads. Praise God for that. You don't know how blessed you are. Last Sunday night, we were having our session 3 of Courageous Living right here in the church, and we're talking about dads and the legacy that we leave, and got some stories that came out that weren't all that positive. And so when I say to you this morning, don't take your mom for granted and her love and her chastening. Maybe she even had to correct your behavior once in a while. I know mine did. Mine should have a medal, as a matter of fact. Thank God for your mother. Thank God for that motherly person in your life. Maybe your mother wasn't there. Thank God for that motherly person that was. But as we sit here this morning, friends, I know that some of you have not had an experience a whole lot different than Linda's. And I want you to know 2 things. Number 1, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. No matter how long or how short life is, and if you never get to the point of realizing that Jesus loves you like Linda did in that hospital bed, in inviting Christ into your life, repenting of sin, and inviting Christ into your life, we continue to walk this journey of life alone. But when we meet with Jesus, He changes us. And so maybe your heart is heavy and broken and grieved today like Linda's was. I want to encourage you, surrender to Jesus. Surrender everything to Jesus. Eternity depends upon it. And lastly, dads, our day is coming in June, but moms, I'm going to challenge us with this question, and dads, I'll do it again in June. What kind of legacy are we leaving for our children? Do they see you, mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, loving the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Or do they see us so wrapped up in everyday business and life and whatever else that pulls us from Jesus? Do they see us sold out wholeheartedly to that and never have any time for the Master? What kind of legacy are we leaving to our children? Do our children and grandchildren see that Jesus matters to you? In the last verse of Proverbs 31, the writer writes, he's writing about women. Most of you know that in Proverbs 31. And in the last verse, he says this. Actually, it's the second to the last verse. It's Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Ladies, what legacy are we leaving for the next generation? Men, we will get challenged the same way on Father's Day. What kind of legacy are we leaving to our children, the next generation? Let's pray. Father, thank you for motherhood. Thank you for my mother, my wife, who has been a wonderful mother to our children, and now our own children who are parents, our daughters who are moms, and all the ladies that are here today. Some of them have been moms for decades, grandmoms even maybe now, and great-grandmoms. Some of them are brand new moms. Some of them are waiting to be moms or haven't had the chance to be mother to their own biological children yet, but have had a chance to be mother to others. Thank you, Father, for each and every one of them. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we walk this pathway called life, we will recognize it's the little things sometimes that matter the biggest to our children, like saying, I love you. Like giving them a little time. Instead of our schedules taking all of our time, having a little more time for our children, grandchildren. Thank you, Father, for the ladies here today. Bless them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Help them to pass on, whether it's to their children or their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren or somebody they're mentoring or somebody in their family. Help them, Father, to pass on to the next generations the love of Jesus that's real and vibrant and eternal. Thank you, Father, for Linda. Thank you, Father, how you work in hearts that hurt. You work in lives that are filled with sin. You work in lives that are ready to pull the pin. You work in lives even in the 11th hour of life. Thank you, Father, for your grace that is sufficient for us and reaching to us in the even sometimes in the 11th hour if we have waited that long. Father, today, maybe there's folks that have waited way too long to give their lives to Jesus. Maybe they're here. Maybe they're across the street. Maybe they're in the next church down. Father, by your Spirit, touch their hearts and lives today. Today, that today might be the day of salvation for them. That today they would give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ as Lord, repenting of our past, crying out to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Today is the day, the Bible says, of salvation. And so today may that be the day for some. Bless this day, O Lord, as families gather together. Help us never to take loving moms for granted. But help us, Father, to be thankful to them and tell them, thank you, Mama. And return the favor and say, I love you too, Mama. Help us today, Father, have a new kind of love because we love you for those around us. And Father, maybe we're here today and our mama, our dad, wasn't very loving. God, for our own healing, would you help us to forgive? Would you give us the strength, Heavenly Father, for our own healing, for our own walk, would you help us to forgive? Maybe we've been harboring that bitterness for a long time. Anger, resentment. Would you help us to forgive, Father? And move forward, loving you, trusting in you. Gracious God, we need you. Society needs you. There's so many Lindas out there. Help us, Father, to be the Marie Alleys. Help the church to be there for people in our circles, in our churches, in our place of employ, where we live. Help us, Father, to be the ones that reach out and say, I love you. Jesus loves you. Use us, O God, to be your warm embrace to people that need it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last song is taken from somewhere in your hymnal. 460. Let's stand together and sing 460. There's another one down there, Dayton. That's okay. I can use the screen. Okay.